Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve Bitcoin adoption. The current Bitcoin price is $23,933. One US dollar could buy you 4,178 Satoshis. And the current block height is 749,750. Just to anybody listening, I've been having some technical issues with my microphone. One should be here tomorrow, so thank you for bearing with me through some crappy episodes, but I appreciate you listening. You can listen on Fountain App, Podcasting 2.0. You could get stream stats for listening. You could listen on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube as well. And today, we're going to be having Paco de la India on Twitter joining us today. So, Paco, thank you, and really looking forward to getting to know you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shane, for inviting me over, man. Definitely. Yeah. Hard Money Knocks.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you. So why don't you go ahead and just tell everybody kind of who you are.
All right. Hi, everybody. Namaste. My name is Paco. I'm from India, and I'm currently traveling around 40 countries by using Bitcoin. The purpose of the journey is to show that there is adoption of host Bitcoin meetups, that is Bitcoin awareness. And ultimately to show that humans are kind, because people have been saying toxic maxis aren't kind people, but there's a reason why they are such. So my journey is so far being going good, and I am currently in Nigeria as I speak to you all, which is the 17th country of the journey. And this is all possible because of the support of all you lovely plebs around the world. Otherwise this wouldn't have been possible. So thank you.
You got it. So are you being sponsored to do this, or are you just doing this on your own?
The Run with Bitcoin campaign is crowdfunded. So everybody has contributed in their own capacity. Some people host me, some people bless me, and some people share some sats. A couple of times, companies like Paxful and Bitrefill have come on board to support me for a couple of months to 6 months. And so far, the journey is going good. Today is day number 335, almost like 11 months on this journey. Wow, so yeah, thanks to you all for believing. Thank you all. Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to do it, but it would be awesome to give that a go and at least travel a few countries. So I've been to Canada and Mexico, but other than that, okay. Yeah, so I haven't gone very far. So I couldn't imagine going all, you know, man, you're going all over the place over there. That's insane. So thank you for doing Satoshi's work out that direction.
No, man. Thank you, man. Like, I think so. We all are doing it in our own capacity to the best of everybody's knowledge. I feel everybody is necessary, be it Nick Carter or be it Max Kaiser or be it Bukelele or on the other side, be it you, Shane, or be it me. I feel everybody is important because it's a long journey, you know. In fact, we just have had three halvings and here we are already fighting. And I'm like, there is a long way to go. Ultimately, everybody is a Bitcoiner, whether they believe it or not, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm a huge believer in that as well. And that's why I'm a huge fan of the meetups and what they do for the Bitcoin space. You know, every meetup is so vital to improving Bitcoin adoption, growing Bitcoin adoption, and making more convicted Bitcoiners out there. So, just such a great thing, you know, that they're sprouting up all over the world right now. They're really popping up all over the U.S. right now. So many have popped up this year alone, and just really looking forward to watching these grow. And, you know, my meetup as well. Just really look forward to that time and all the Bitcoiners. And just to think one day, hopefully we get more and more new people and provide a real learning experience for some people. It gets me so bullish and keeps me motivated to keep going forward and trying to do more, and therefore it's making my knowledge grow and just, you know, challenging my thoughts and making me grow more. So I'm just so grateful for everything that the meetup space has been doing for me.
Man, perfect, man. I'm really happy for you guys, because I recently was following Captain Sid. He was on his Harley Davidson touring around America. And I was really happy to see that. And I was really like, wow, there are so much. He did some 31 meetups in 31 cities. And I was like, there you go. Finally, there are these meetups which are practically like a church for new Bitcoiners or for the normies to come down and listen and learn. So I'm really happy to see that. So thank you so much, man. Like, I hope we'll get to meet each other very soon.
Oh yeah, that'd be amazing. I know that's, and that's the thing. This podcast is going around talking to all meetup organizers and people, you know, throwing on meetups. And because I'm not able to go travel around and do Captain Sid's bike tour, I'm not able. Well, one, I don't really want to do what you're doing either right now. but, you know, plus I'm not able to. So this is my only way of trying to do something that way. My way of getting around to the meetups and at least getting familiar with other organizers who can help myself learn and grow and just hopefully help them. And it's been really cool to see what's happened. I know one guy heard about it and is working on starting his meetup out in San Luis Obispo, California. And then I did a podcast with another guy like a week later, and he's like, oh yeah, he came to our meetup. And then he podcast with another guy or talked on the phone, and he's like, oh, he came to our meetup. And this dude's going all over the place. And it's just really awesome to see that. And just so grateful for everything, you know, Bitcoin's been doing for me. So so how did you hear about Bitcoin? When did you get involved? And just kind of give a little bit of your Bitcoin background.
The funny thing is, it was 2017. I was in Chile and I was in a hostel, and I had this German guy run down in his boxers shouting, buy Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin. And he's just like screaming in the hostel at 2 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, he's just too drunk to tell us to do something stupid. And fast forward down to 2021. Hi, are you back? Yeah, okay. Fast forward to 2021. My friend sent me a text message saying that, Paco, do you want to travel the world? I'm like, yeah, I do want to travel the world. He's like, but you have to travel around the world on Bitcoin. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but I don't know what it is. He's like, I'm giving you a book, read it. And the book is Bitcoin Standard. It was 26th of August, pretty much, when I got the book. I see it in your background. And I'm like, hey, I read the book, and once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? It's the time preference that teaches you everything about in your life. And in the book, it talked about Nelly Bly, who had circumnavigated the globe in 1878 by using pounds, which was a new currency then, and gold coins. So I was like, hey, this is 2021. I will travel around the world by using Bitcoin. Because I really felt like, what can I contribute to the space? I know I'm a traveler. I know my niche. I know my forte. I was like, ask not what Bitcoin can do for you, ask what you can do for Bitcoin. So I was like, let's take this forward. My dear friend, who is now ventured into Web3 projects, so, but he's maxi at heart. I'll tell you, you can see the eyes pop up. So he did one tweet for me, and he's like, hey, community, Paco is coming around. Let's see what happens. And it said it will be crowdfunded. And I started with like $0. Like I had, I sold my furniture. And I got $200. Then in the first meetup, I got another $200, then $500, then $100, then $50. Some people even gave me 10 sats, as low as 10 sats, thanks to Lightning. So it was really fun to just see how this all just started. And slowly and gradually, 6 months down the line, I started getting a little bit toxic, if you may call the word. And I was like, okay, because you started seeing life on a macro level. Because if you look at it in the micro level, life is beautiful. Like, you are in your comfort zone. I'm in my comfort zone. We are having a blessed life. But if you look at it at the macro level, you see, this is just a privilege that you and me have it. We have our Maslow's hierarchy of law covered. You have the food, shelter, clothing. And now we're going all the way up to self-actualization. I was like, but there is a majority of people who don't have it. And I'm in Nigeria, brother. There are 225 million people here. And only the 20 million people vote here. Think about that. So 10% of the population decides who's going to be the president. So a lot of things started popping up. And let's say ever since March, April, May, June, now I've become such. Like, I was sitting yesterday with a guy from Cardano. He's a lawyer from Cardano in Nigeria. And I'm like, yo, man, let's have one-on-one with each other. Like, why? And they say it's useless having a chat with toxic maxi people. But I'm like, it's not useless. It is, at least I am able to share with you the other side, because you are pretty much getting the big bucks, but you're not seeing the bigger picture. So yeah, sorry, I just digressed into a lot of things, but this has been my journey so far. And I'm, you can call me, I'm a little bit toxic now.
Yeah, once you get so much conviction, it's hard not to be a toxic maximalist to some extent. But even I consider myself a toxic maximalist. But then again, I'm going to be pretty sincere to people. It's just when you are really coming in, trying to shill, you know, your cryptos, whatever, and just will not back off on it. Eventually, my toxicity gets to the point where I just walk away. You know, I'm not going to, it's not worth my time. Obviously, they're just so wrapped in it. And it's understandable. Yeah. Look at the world we live in. We have the illusion of choice. Everywhere you look, there's choices, choices, choices. And we haven't had an easy option to choose from in the past. Mm-hmm. So now that we have something that sounds so perfect, like Bitcoin does, when you tell people about it, they're like, no way, that's too good to be true. And the illusion of choice distracts them from reality. And, you know, life could be a lot easier. And I love how, you know, I forget who talks about, but just, you know, you don't got to go pick through the stock market what stocks you want to do. And, you know, for the rest of your life, you could literally just buy Bitcoin now at the ages we're at, or any age, and just hodl forever, and you'll be fine and not have to worry about stock markets. And that's a beautiful thing to think. My way of investing my hard-earned money, because I'm a hard worker, you know, I now have a hard money to put that in. And that was really freaking me out until Bitcoin found me. And once I, you know, it just keeps me motivated to keep working hard and striving to move forward and provide more for me and my future family.
Yeah, I am with you on that. Like, it really gives you that ultra clear vision moving forward. Like, hey, now I rather concentrate on the quality rather than the quantity. And rather, like, my time is the most scarcest resource in the world. It's yours and my time. Where do I put my time forward, you know? Should I put my time where I am able to spend more time with my family, or I am just wasting my time in trying to earn that extra buck because that extra dollar is losing the buying power? So I think Bitcoin has given us that bigger picture, and I'm really grateful for that. And I feel it is us who is going to take it forward, irrespective of who we are, where we are, no class, no creed, no religion, no color. And it just connects us because we are just a hash 256 now.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, it's just crazy too to think that something so perfect and so beautiful isn't just here for in America. It is a global thing, and anybody in the world can have access to it. And I wanted to be a high school history teacher before getting into Bitcoin mining. And so, you know, just kind of having a good understanding of the world and everything, and seeing the way that these third world countries have been affected for so long, to think, you know, humanity has a fighting chance at getting a, you know, equals point at some point. And to see that you're going around to all these, you know, some of these third world countries where they struggle and have been struggling for so long, that's just awesome to see that Bitcoin's being adopted out there. And like I told you before recording, you know, I've been following you for a while now, just kind of, you know, fly on the wall. And I remember just seeing you go all over the place. And I'm just like, man, that's really awesome that that's going on there. And to know that you're going to 40 countries, that's insane. So yeah, you know, just that is so awesome that you're doing that in these places that need it the most and have the most incentive.
Yeah, man, like, I really thank you guys. Like, I really felt, because I follow now a couple of people. There's another guy called Pleb Music. He's moving around in Europe, finding people using Bitcoin for a living. Just recently, Joe Nakamoto, Joe Hall, he's a writer for Cointelegraph. He just started doing that in Gibraltar. Captain Sid is doing it there. Then you have all these little Bitcoin Ikasi, Bitcoin Jungle, Bitcoin Beach, Bitcoin Village, all these places popping over. When you have all these places popping over and where you have all of these connected, so that gives a very strong message that, hey, you're not alone. That means even if you end up having a non-KYC Bitcoin with you, you can go down to such countries. There are communities that will cash you out. Like I in all these countries, whenever I go, I find an OTC trader. And I convert my Bitcoin to cash, because in Africa, it is a big challenge. I would just say, I think so in Europe, it would be much more easier, or in Singapore or in Thailand or in Americas, it would be easier to move around on Bitcoin because it is easy. But as soon as you come here, you find, but there are these little pockets, huh? You'll be surprised to find, like in Mozambique, Malawi, Tanzania, you'd be like, I've never heard of anything. And then you're like, wait a minute, they are here too. So it's there. It's everywhere. I do not know if I think so. We would be about 10 million of us around the world as we speak. Give or take.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what is the issue you have in Africa as far as being able to get around with Bitcoin then?
Bitcoin is a scam. Anything related to Bitcoin is a scam. People have been scammed multiple times from their loved ones, from their neighbor, from their friends, from their church. And it is really on them, like they consider it, because there have been multi-level marketing, Ponzi schemes, pyramids, BitConnect, and blah, blah, so on. So people are really skeptic about it. I remember trying to reach out to even host meetups, sometimes get a challenging, because people are like, there comes another scam. Because most of the coins that have come into the market since 2017 have been coming here to tell them that it's the next Bitcoin killer. You can stake your coins and make money. So in Africa, an average person's income is only $40 to $50 per month. When a person is just making $50 per month, he is unable to save any money, given that he has two children or two girlfriends. The next thing you're facing is the network. There is no network coverages in certain parts of the countries. Like I do all bus trips, right? I don't take flights that much. So you come to know there is no network. Third thing is, they do not have smartphones. They have their old Nokia 3310 or 1100 phones. So they are used to the mobile money concept where they go *303# and they can send money across. Eventually everybody just wants cash. That's it, like right away. Like I remember I've been trying to give Bitcoin to random people, but they're like, give me cash. And I'm like, hey, take some, like give me cash. So these are some of the biggest challenges that I've come across. And ultimately, the one of the biggest one is education, which is where you do not have. See, in Nigeria, they have 200 languages. How many people can you talk to? You know, it is English that got us connected. So the languages, as soon as you move from one city to another, there's another language, then another language. So education has been a big challenge. And given that all these countries have had their independence in 60s and 70s, they have been super devalued, you know. Super devalued, so they have lost all their hope and faith. Somebody has just said it, I'll put it very clearly. It says Africa, or Nigeria for that matter, is a religiously atheist country. They'll be super religious, they'll be like, yeah, God. Like today, my bus's name was God is Great, the other bus company is God is Good, the other bus company is Peace Mass Transit. Oh, God guides us, bus, everything is God, right? But as soon as you put $1,000 on the table, boom, the religion is gone. That's when the atheism comes in. So it is really tough here, brother. Like it's very tough here. That's what we have to count our privileges next time when we are shouting at a McDonald's employee or we are getting that expensive fuel. Like we are really help privileged. Like here, brother, there are so many checkpoints. There are so many checkpoints. You are just so scared. You're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? It is really bad. What has happened is the devaluation of a currency has really sucked out the independence or the freedom out of a person. It has. It has killed it really bad, brother. It is like in 1960, Nigeria, $1 was 0.86 Naira. Good, right? Today it's at 700. You got 700 times you have devalued a country. And then tweet. You're telling to... Yeah, brother, like yeah. It hits, you know?
Even just in a little bit of my time, like I remember going to McDonald's back in high school and, you know, getting like three things for $3.24 or something, like you know. And that's not even around, and just so much has changed in the last 10 years alone. And to think that you know, countries like in Africa have been struggling through this for, you know, way longer than us. And yeah, you know, when you take I'm fortunate. I won a lottery by living in America. And so, you know, I feel like I'm able to take that veil off and see kind of how people are living around the world. And I'm really grateful for everything I have. Not to mention, I went through my struggles and didn't have much. And so now, you know, I appreciate all the small little things. And to think that I had a chance of getting back on my feet. And there's countries around the world where people never have a chance to get on their feet. So it just puts it in perspective and it allows me to be grateful for everything I got.
True. Like I'm that's good, man. That's really good that you can really count your blessings, because sometimes we just use God as a Walmart. we're like, God, give me this, God, give me that. But we never count our blessings, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, like you were saying, people, as soon as money gets thrown on the table, God goes out the window. And that's around the world. You know, people will make very unhealthy choices for their life whenever money gets thrown in front of them. And we've seen that with, you know, our governments. Our governments are controlled by money and everything. Everybody has a price, essentially. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really showing in the world right now. And another thing, too, I have a coworker who has family in India. So he went there a month or two ago. And he was saying when he went there, he wanted to teach them all about Bitcoin. But they all just wanted $100 bills. They were like, no, 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 we want $100 bills. You know, because the $100 bills there are so valuable to them. And that's crazy to think, too. Like, you know, $100 bills are becoming like $20 bills now, you know, compared to 10 years ago. So, you know, we still got a long ways to go as far as Bitcoin adoption.
Definitely. Definitely. 15 years, I see, brother. 15 years for sure. 15, 20 years, a long way to work.
So what happens when you're early?
We are early. We are early.
So who are some vital figures in your growth of knowledge in Bitcoin? And, you know, just who did you turn to early on?
Definitely, I would just give it right away to Saifuddin Amos, man. Like that guy's book is like a Bible to me. I love Ayn Rand. I've read Ayn Rand books, Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, which is a Bible of a man, I feel, which really talks about work. But then proof of work concept was really put in really well by Saifuddin Amos. Then I got connected to John Carvalho's one interview. I just saw him talking over to Roger Ver for the block size war, like, and that was one thing I was like, wow, this is toxicity, mate. This is toxicity. I really thank Elon Musk for doing whatever the fuck he does, because it's important. he's like a role model for all of us. He is practically our Iron Man who can just do anything. Since I'm a last year batch, 2021 batch, I have been mostly on the road. Like, my journey started it over. So I was practically meeting a lot of people on the road. So on the road, there are a lot of people. The ones really that give me a hope and are, I will go by country-wise. In India, there is a core developer. He works on Bitcoin Core. He's funded by Square Crypto. He was my first supporters. And he really told me one beautiful words. He was like, in 5 years from now, the Bitcoin price will be the least of worries for you and me. Only guns and food will save us. And I was like, whoa, that's what he tried to say, man. We move forward into Thailand. The Umbrell Network boys. The Umbrell Network was made down in Chiang Mai. So those guys are really inspiring. We move over to Jamie down in Singapore. It's called A Man on an Island. You will find him on Twitter. Amazing soul. Great maxi person. Come down to Nigeria. We got Bernard, a Bitcoin lady. So practically my most source of inspiration have been these people who I've met on the road, you know. Yeah, 2010, 2012, 2014, 16. Because whenever I see a 2012, 14, 16 Bitcoiner, I literally bow down my head, because if they didn't believe in Bitcoin, we wouldn't have such tools for me to use. I don't know which year are you a Bitcoiner. Since when are you a Bitcoiner, brother?
Me? February 2021.
All right, there you go. So you get it, right? Like if these guys didn't believe in it, these guys didn't make those nodes, didn't fight the block size war, they didn't do all of these things, we wouldn't be here just sitting in this comfortable position and talking about it, because they have done a lot of work towards it. So I really be grateful to them, and I'm like, thank you. Like, thank you for believing in the network, and thank you for letting the network be network, even though Craig Wright comes and says, I'm Satoshi.
Yeah. And, you know, I love coming across people who have been around since like 2016, 2017, because they went through a period where so much knowledge about the space happened and got to see, you know, what was going on Twitter those days. And when I come across those people, I generally find myself in a really good position to learn a lot. And, you know, it's stuff that you don't hear on podcasts and stuff out there, because you got guys like me who have only been in for a little while. But there's a lot of guys under NIMS who don't want to be public, and just keep their voices, you know, behind a Twitter bot or Twitter's picture, whatever. So when you come across them in person at these meetups or whatever, you know, may not know who they are, but you know I got a buddy who goes under an M, and when I get to talk to him in person, it's just like, wow, you know, like your voice needs to be out there more. Like I wish I wish you were doing the podcast so I could learn from you more, you know? So some of these meetups and in-person conversations that you're having are some of the best places for you to learn.
With you, brother. True. So thank you all, man. Thank you, everybody. You can't clap with one hand. We need everyone. Yeah. It's a long, long journey ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and just give a little bit of your journey so far on these 17 countries?
Yeah. I started out from India. This is the time when I had zero followers, zero subscribers, zero everything. So it was a big challenge for me to show what is proof of work. Started from India. And in India, I was practically 100% on Bitcoin. Thanks to BitRefill, I could get my Uber vouchers, food vouchers on Bitcoin. I hosted about 17 Bitcoin meetups in 17 cities. So it was really nice. It's a funny thing. It's 17 and 17. But yeah, India was really good. I got to meet a lot of Bitcoiners who really gave me a starting support. I moved over into the UAE, got to meet a lot of these crypto people from Da Vinci to Moon, the MM crypto. And I was like, okay, what has happened here? Like, the Bitcoin family, I'm like, you guys are all Bitcoin, and now here we are just shilling NFTs and coins. But then I understood, like, as a person moves forward, it's a different ball game. So that was my first exposure, you know. And then I moved forward to Thailand, which was really beautiful. Thailand is very crypto friendly. It is amazing. You can bring your crypto down there, and even if you sell it after a year, there's no taxes on you, nothing on you. They are practically welcoming you. It's a great Lightning community in Chiang Mai and Koh Phangan, into the islands. Great Lightning community. Like, you can get your restaurants, massages, cafes for Bitcoin, co-working space, you can pay with Bitcoin. So that's beautiful to see. Singapore, obviously, with Hong Kong being shut down, Singapore has a great community. I feel the best of the best minds go down there. Sometimes I feel that. But it was really nice to move around in Singapore when I got a pizza on Bitcoin, coffee on Bitcoin, 7-Eleven vouchers. So it was really nice to just use on basic small day-to-day needs, you know, not buying a Lamborghini, but buying my cheese sandwich on Bitcoin is like a big thing for me. Getting a haircut is a big thing, like, wow, on Bitcoin. So it was really good. These are countries. Cambodia was really nice too. Moved over into Qatar, Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka hit me really hard because I was there in February, and then to just see them go down in June, July, and I was like, damn it. But it makes sense, brother. They didn't have US dollars. With no dollars, they couldn't import fuel. No fuel was no electricity. No electricity was no job. No job was hyperinflation hitting in. And it was but obvious, brother. Like, you couldn't do anything about it. Like, so it hits me. But such a beautiful place. Sri Lanka is good people. Qatar just recently got their own exchange recently, about a couple of months ago. So while I was there, I just got to meet a couple of miners. Bitcoin miners were there. So got to meet them there. Then starts my Africa journey. So Africa is Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, Malawi, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, and now Nigeria. So these are like 10 African countries. I wear everything on my ear, and most of them I've bought on Bitcoin, like the Mozambique on Bitcoin, this on Bitcoin, Kenya on Bitcoin, Malawi on Bitcoin. All of these I bought on Bitcoin. Like, if you can use your Bitcoin for as little as such small things, you really feel happy. I think so. Africa, I felt for a moment, Africa was supposed to be 5 countries I was supposed to do. That was almost like a month to 2 months. But now I'm here for the last 6 months because I really felt like, wait a minute. Because most of the resources come from Africa. Just imagine if when they're letting out their resources go, they get some Bitcoin in exchange for it. They will flip everything that has happened over 200, 300 years. You know, they will flip it. So Africa really got me connected. It really got me connected to the community on a bigger level. And I could just see the wonderful work that has been done by Anita Posh. I would say that you should definitely get her on your podcast. She's done an amazing work in Zimbabwe and Zambia, Human Rights Foundation, Paxful, Ray Youssef, for that matter. They have done an amazing job with Built with Bitcoin. They have built 2 schools in Kenya, 1 in Rwanda, 2 in South Africa, 1 in Nigeria. So they have built schools with Bitcoin. They are helping with clean water system in Ghana. So But it's really nice to see what Bitcoin can bring just apart, just not. And then just to meet, I got to meet this 2012 Bitcoiner who is right now in a desert trying to do permaculture in the Kalahari Desert. So it's amazing to see what Bitcoin can do because it gives you that freedom of space and time to explore into other things. So really felt good to just be part of all of this. So yeah, so far it's been really good, man. Really amazing. You'll be surprised to just see like there is Bitcoiners all around these places. Like it takes time to find them. It is not easy. There is nothing is there. Like I used to follow something called as maps.bitcoin.com, but it's all outdated or either they just want to accept Bitcoin Cash. So I was like, yeah, screw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
No, that's really awesome. So maybe a tool that might be helpful for you at some point. Have you ever heard of Pay with Moon? So what it does is you can spend Bitcoin and it creates a Visa gift card that you can add to your Apple Pay, whatever.
Okay, so
can convert your sats and get a gift card. And there's been times because I like to convert part of my paycheck. So there's been times where I convert a little bit too much. I'm like, dang, like I gotta get some gas, whatever. And yeah. I'll use that to go get gas. And I just tap to pay with my phone. So it's something I'll send you the link after this, but a useful tool, possibly in the future. Anywhere that accepts tap to pay, you'll be able to use it.
Fair enough. Yeah. There are, it's coming all around Africa. Yeah. It's coming around, but I think it's in South America, I'll be moving next into. So that's where I will be able to see more. How does this thing work? That'd be great to try.
Yeah. Yes. Really, really incredible. Have you connected with Alexandria the Great?
Yes, Alexandria the Great. Yes, I got to meet him in Zimbabwe and then I got to meet him in Botswana. He's working now really closely with RSK team. So the RSK is dollar on chain. They have a stable coin backed by Bitcoin now. It's like stable sats that Galois money came out for El Salvador. So there's something called the RSK. I'm not well versed with all of this. But yeah, he's working really closely with them. So I got to meet him a couple of times in Zimbabwe as well as in Botswana. Great person. He's also helping with mining, helping exchange. He's very proactive into this department.
I did a podcast with him about a month ago. So nice. It's cool that you guys are connected too, because similar stories doing Satoshi's work out there where people wouldn't think is, you know, all this is going on. So. And it allows me to have a good perspective. Like, wow, look at all this going around the world. I get to have a first, you know, bird's eye view of everything happening and just a beautiful part of history that we're getting to live through and getting to sit back and enjoy the Bitcoin revolution.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, it's wonderful. I really feel like because we need it, right? We need such people because if we are 10 million people now, and even if we orange pill 10 million people, it takes us 2 days. We have 20 million. That's it. That 20 will make 40. 40 will make 80, 80, 160. And so far, we will go forward. It's going to take time. But I guess we all, if we are hardcore maxis, I've stopped calling the world maxis because it has a very negative annotation to all of it. I say Bitcoiner is a Bitcoiner at the end of the day. A Bitcoiner, period. We all are Bitcoiners at the end of the day. So if we can just orange pill our favorite cafe or our favorite restaurant, we have created a circular economy. It's very simple now. So yeah, kudos to everyone.
That is the goal. Everywhere I go, I'm always asking. I know my fiance will look at me like, give it a break already. So.
Oh my God.
And then let's see some questions. Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of curious more about the meetups. What have you noticed as far as like attendee counts at the meetups? Where do you think there's like more Bitcoin adoption with the countries that you've been through?
Brother, honestly, I go into the crypto groups. I host a meetup. I'm like, come over, let's talk Bitcoin. It's a free meetup. No, there are no free drinks, no free food. But I will tell you what really is the difference between Bitcoin and crypto. Brother, mostly they are crypto groups, everybody. And I wouldn't blame Africa to be into crypto only. Just because I told you an average person is making $50. Imagine a Cardano guy comes and says, hey, Shane, I give you $500. You'd be like, yeah, sure, brother. $500 is a lot of money. I'm in Africa. I will do it for you. So I don't blame them because the cost of it's such as the lifestyle here. But I have been host. I've hosted about 52 meetups, I suppose, now in like all these countries. And it has been really great. I have had some great moments where people have just been inspired a lot. They have been like, I'm going to start tipping my waiters in Bitcoin in Botswana. This person in Zambia who was like, he deleted all his tweets. He deleted all his every shitcoin he had shilled. And he's like Bitcoin only. So it's just really good to see. Then go down to see that people in Africa, like in Kenya, are teaching Bitcoin in regional language. It really inspires people because most of the time people have not seen the philosophical side or the other side of Bitcoin. What they have seen is like, oh, it's gone so up in the price that I cannot catch it now. So might as well just catch the next coin. So just to show them, like I generally end up most of my meetups by saying, I personally don't care if you do NFTs, you do shitcoins, you do metaverse. I don't care. Most important thing is you need to start seeing your net worth in Bitcoin terms. Is your Bitcoin growing? Are you 0.01 and are you 0.02 tomorrow? Like Bitcoin is like a rod on which this curtain hangs. Curtains are all the other coins. Without the rod, these coins don't exist. And this is what I tell them. So they say, do you call Ethereum a shitcoin? I'm like, Ethereum is a stock. Consider that as a stock. Let's not get into delve into more into this. I'm here to show one side of the point because people have not been able to see that side because they are in the rat race trying to make that extra buck. This is what happened in the lockdown, right? People were like, how can I make an extra buck? How can I make extra buck? And then they got into the bull run and they were really happy. And then boom, I met somebody who's lost $400,000 in Axie Infinity right away. I met somebody who's lost in Luna $300,000. So I meet such people and it's just like shocking. But finally, when you get to share such things in the meetup, which is generally like the Bitcoin standard, I talk about the history of money. I move over into what is Bitcoin. And finale, I talk about a little bit of philosophy of Bitcoin. And I really then show them a presentation that is about adoption in 17 countries where I bought this on Bitcoin, t-shirt on Bitcoin, haircut on Bitcoin. And then they're like, oh, wow, you can use Bitcoin for such little things. And then you show them how Bitrefill can be used. And now we have Machakuru, that is like a USSD where you don't need internet to send Bitcoin. When you share such things, it really shares a positive message around that, hey, Bitcoin is not an asset. Bitcoin is money. And that's what has been happening. And I am really grateful to just being able to share this so far. Because my journey when I started, it was all about how to spend Bitcoin. But then it just took a beautiful turn where it is all about gathering these people, irrespective of what coin you believe in. Gathering those people, sitting them for a couple of hours and breaking it down to them like, what is Bitcoin? So yeah, it's been grateful. Thankful.
Yeah. That's really awesome. I mean, even going out Thanks. And going to the crypto groups and trying to talk to them there, you know, yeah. as much as I want to, what was that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm with you. Sorry.
You know, as much as I want to, like I said, as much as I want to be toxic, you know, there are people who are just kind of lost in the weeds and have been led astray. And, you know, they need people like us out there telling them, even though a lot of people wouldn't give them the time of day. But, you know, I waste a lot of breath. I try to tell as many people as I possibly can. So,
yeah, that's good, man. I love it, man. Love it. It is necessary. That's what when you said you have a meetup and I'm like, that's important. It's like a shrine where people can come down to learn. That's it, man. Because they forced us to go to school. They forced us to go to college. They forced us to go to work. Adulthood is a scam. They didn't tell us that, you know. And now where we have a free choice to go down to a meetup to learn, yes, why not, man? This is from my own choice. If you want your freedom, you'll come down here. And the beautiful part is we are free. We are not controlled by anyone now. Yeah.
That's the best part for sure. Yes. I know. To think about like how much I've learned just through going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole compared to what I learned in school. Don't get me wrong. I actually did. I went to a small little university, so I actually had a really good professor who taught me how to do research really well. And I, you know, just really appreciated him. So, and it was like a smaller field. So, you know, I got a one-on-one experience with him essentially, but to think about everything I've learned going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, like, man, I could essentially like, I put in enough time to get a degree in this, you know, and I've done it all for free, self-willing. And to yes. think that we could just share a little bit of that, you know, that's what we're, that's yes. what I'm here for.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Keep at it. Like, it's, that's why it's called proof of work, right? It doesn't matter. You just keep doing the work, keep doing the work, keep doing the work. In the long run, time preference.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So what are there any current projects out there that you're looking forward to? You know, any apps, whatever?
Apps in terms of what kind of apps?
Just involving Bitcoin, helping, you know, Bitcoin grow, whatever. So any?
I'll tell you, like, I have used Bitrefill definitely, because they can help you convert your Bitcoin into Uber vouchers or getting your airtime for your phone. One, two, there is an app called Machakuru. It's not an app. It's for your old phone, where you can just type your used old phone and you can type *343# and you can send Bitcoin, which is in Africa in like 5 countries as we speak, 6 countries. The third thing, I'm really connected, not connected, but I got myself from the Bitcoin company. They came out with some cards too. Fourth is Wallet of Satoshi, which I really love, because in Africa, either the person doesn't have a smartphone or he doesn't have internet, right? But if he has smartphone and internet, he doesn't have space in his phone. So you have to give him the smallest application. So Wallet of Satoshi is like 7 MB, and it is so easy to download, and it lets you go from inside to the online merchants, and on the online merchants, it connects you to Bitrefill, and from Bitrefill, you can do a recharge of airtime. And once you can show this entire process go about, and they're like, way, this is good. This is good. So people find a way out. So as of now, I've been seeing these apps. I was using Travala.com to buy my tickets, but they were really expensive, like at least 10% expensive tickets, man. There's another website I was using, Future.Travel. Moon Wallet I use. Future.Travel is just again for that, for flight tickets or hotel vouchers. As such, yeah, this has been my entire... I used maps.bitcoin.com, but I don't use it. Crypto Spender I used to use, but in Africa region, there isn't much happening. So I couldn't use them much more. So this is some of my resources that I've used so far in my journey. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, then it's incredible to think there are a lot of tools out there already right now that can help you, yeah. you know, live on Bitcoin, yeah. essentially.
Yeah.
And to think yes. that they're in their beginning stages and only going to get better, yeah. and yes. newer stuff that's going to be even better is going to come out in the future is absolutely yes. incredible, because the few places that I've been able to use Bitcoin, uh-huh. I have a, you know, flawless experience. And now when I go and use traditional finance, I'm like, I'm too out of date, or I'm too in the future for you guys. Like, this process yeah. sucks. And yeah. I can't wait till when I can just take my phone around and scan QR codes to pay for everything.
Yeah, man, it's faster. There was a very nice video that came across from Joe Hall only. He was like, let's try Lightning as well as a traditional credit card, and then do it, tap together. Lightning is done, and the credit card takes like 9 seconds or 10 seconds to go through. Did you see that video? It was a very quick yep. 30 seconds video.
Yep.
Yeah, right? It was yep. a nice video. Like, where we were like, yay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. It's really incredible what's to come. So, yeah. And then just kind of, what are some final thoughts on the Bitcoin space and what's happening around the world?
Wow, man. So ever since we have joined the Twitter family now, I have started seeing this guy called Udiverse, Udi guy, who is blocking all the maxis. Nick Carter going out, and you see a couple of co-developers going out, and these all things make you question, like, is it the right way? But then I feel everybody is a free person, so I do not bother myself with much of the noise that happens on Twitter. I really feel right now Bitcoin has to go through a lot. There is going to come... See, right now, there's another cycle of war. If Bitcoin survives the war, because after the war, it has survived, people will still say Bitcoin is dead. This is going to come again. They're going to say Bitcoin is dead. There's going to come another phase. Because, brother, if you come to Africa and if you see 225 million people of a country speaking 200 languages, how do you bring Bitcoin to them? It is a big thing. You and me will have an iPhone 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. We will have 5G, 6G. But here the average person is literally struggling. So I really hope education comes forward. Countries, this is what Samson Mao is doing recently. He is trying to meet all the officials of different countries to regulate Bitcoin, which is a stupid move. But then yet again, this is a game of chess, right? Because you know, we don't want Bitcoin to be regulated. That's why it's called Bitcoin. But then we have to move forward hand in hand so that there is an acceptance rather than there's a fighting and clash, because we have to move together. We can't just be like going at each other, because the neighbor or the person across the street is at the end of the day a human too. So I really am really bullish on Bitcoin adoption, because I just got to meet these couple of guys now in Nigeria. They are the board of directors for B Trust, the Bitcoin Trust, the 500 Bitcoin fund that they have put across for Africa. There is like Gala Africa. They're teaching coding to people. Then Summer of Bitcoin from Galoy Money. They're bringing on new developers, the new youth. And I'm really excited that, yes, we are on the right track, because what has happened is over these last 11 months, many people have hosted me in their house. And the only reason they have hosted me in their house is just because I'm Bitcoin, not Bcash, or I'm not a BSV guy, or I'm not shilling any coin. There is no ulterior motive out here, but just to talk about what is Bitcoin. So, and then to just see these, all these, thanks to you all for bringing out the podcast. I have really come to start appreciating podcasts more, because you get to learn what you want to learn now. You get to hear what you want to hear, rather than being shoved down your throat like, hey, listen to this. Hey, read this. Hey, watch this. No, we have been doing that, and here we are still trying to pay our bills, and many of my friends are in debt. And it hits me when I am 5 years down the line or 8 years down the line enjoying my Corona or my Modelo beer, I don't want the other person to sit next to me and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You know, because we are together. This is something that I have come to appreciate. I'm like, we are together. It takes a lot of ego burst out of a person, but we are together. We cannot forget it. We are in the same boat. This is the same motherland. This is the same sun. This is the same water. The same macaroni and cheese you and me will be having later on. So like, we are together. Huh?
The same air.
Same air. Yes. Same air. We are breathing it. So yeah, man, I am grateful. I don't have any problem with any of the Web3 companies. Only the problem is their coins, which eventually and gradually they will understand. But as of now, technology always wins. Technology will take us forward. Technology will free us from a lot of this corruption that we have, which goes unaccounted for. But I really am thankful for everybody to moving in this stride. And we need more people, because I was in the Bitcoin Standard. If you're reading the chapter 9, it says beautifully, if there are more people, there will be more innovation. If there is more innovation, there will be great utilization of resources, and your price of living will go down. It doesn't mean that you don't have to make babies. That's what we have forgotten, that we are mammals. We are born to make babies, and now we are unable to make babies because of the cost of living. Like, wait a minute, what happened? Where did we go wrong? So I think so we are on the right path. I think so this is our journey, and we are going to take it. We are going to strive forward together. Yeah.
And I've said this several times on podcasts, you know, before Bitcoin, knowing about Bitcoin, I didn't want to have kids. I was just like, why would I bring them into this world? But now that Bitcoin found me, I want babies. You know, I want to have kids, and I want to start getting that going and start teaching them about Bitcoin. So I won't be putting them in front of the TV, whatever. I'm going to make me some Bitcoin flashcards for them. And I'll just, when they're little, be doing flashcards with them or something. So I no longer want, you know, super good athlete son or daughter. I want a smart, intelligent, you know, kid who could do code or, you know, provide some kind of intelligence to the world. Yes. And hopefully improve Bitcoin in their life as well.
I really wish that you get twins then.
It is my turn in a generation. Yeah. My mom's identical twins. So, so there is a possibility. So thanks for jinxing me.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes.
Well, Paco, I really appreciate you doing this. We'll go ahead and wrap this up, and then me and you will do that lightning invoice, and we'll do a separate little video for that. But thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you doing what you're doing across 40 countries and doing Satoshi's work. So if you could let the listeners know just kind of how to get a hold of you and just any final thoughts.
Yes. Final thought would be, I always say this to everyone. He's like, a man who has no love talks about love. A man who has no money talks about money. And a man who has no Bitcoin talks about Bitcoin. So thank you so much for your love. Thank you for supporting the journey. I have a page on Geyser. You may call it Geyser or Geyser, geyser.fund. Or it's called, that's option one. Or option two, it's called support.runwithbitcoin.com. Where you can contribute sats as per your liking. And if not, you can give me blessings, because blessings are needed as I move forward. I have a YouTube channel called Paco de la India. On Twitter, it's called Run with Bitcoin. And I write on Substack called pacodelaindia.substack. So you can definitely follow my journey in such places. And please, man, like, connect me, advise me, or bless me, because we all are together. We all are Satoshis, Team Bitcoin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, well said. Well, thank you, Paco. And hold on 1 second. I'll join you here back in a sec.
Awesome. Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, that's all we got today on Hard Money Hard Knocks. Thank you for joining me. And once again, thank you for listening. You can listen on Fountain App, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. And just once again, thank you for dealing with my technical and production issues. I got a new mic coming in tomorrow, so those should be going away. But once again, thank you for listening, and keep stacking hard.